لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، الروحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدي على أعداء أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات محمد،
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الحمد لله and all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us the opportunity to be amongst the followers and lovers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. We have that privilege to have the leaders who have been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the role models for ourselves, for our societies, who have been on the level of excellence and perfection. From the lives of Ahlul Bayt, we can learn to live a perfect life with modesty, with moral, high moral values and ethics. Today, with all the developments which mankind could have done, unfortunately, the human society has shown a sharp decline in its moral and ethical values. The only place where we can get high moral and ethical principles and values is Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And alhamdulillah, the values which has been laid down 1400 years back, they have been proven to be same and exactly the same high level. There have been no change, there have been no diversions, nothing have been changed and nothing have been corrupted in their teachings. It is on us to learn and receive as it has been delivered and taught by them to us. And one of the sayings of the eighth Imam Raza alayhi salam,
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
He says كلامنا نور. Our words and our teachings is just like nur. It's nur. It's light. You have the responsibility to convey that light to others. It will make its own place in the hearts of other people. We should not worry that how this darkness will be finished, when, how we will be able to enlighten the minds of this darkened world. Our responsibility is to receive that light, to receive that guidance from Quran and from Ahlul Bayt, and convey it to others. Convey the message to others. Convey the message to our children, to our family members, to our friends, to the place we are living. It is our responsibility. One of the responsibilities which commonly have been ignored by Muslim communities and Muslims masses and individuals, that every Muslim, every believer has a responsibility to convey the message of Islam and its high level teachings of moral and ethics to the entire world, to society in which he is living, to his neighbors, to his friends. Unfortunately, this society, not only the society in which you are living, but the society as a whole, in other part of the, even in the eastern part of the world, it has been changed, transformed. It has become more ignorant society. That by saying that we do not have any responsibility towards others, we should not interfere in the affairs of other people. We are not supposed to interfere in other people's matters and issues, but we are supposed to convey the message of Islam and its teachings and its high moral and ethical values to our neighbors, to our family members, to our friends, which nowadays we have become quite ignorant. Number one, we do not know ourselves what are those teachings are. The baseline is that we don't know. So when we don't know about it, so how we can convey it to others? So the basic thing is that we should know, we should learn. As last night I was mentioning that we in this time, in this era, we are ready to read every trash material which you can see on internet, on social media, all that rubbish. We are ready to read all those lies which we hear from electronic and print media. We are ready to accept it. We accept the political analysis which have been done by liars. We know they are liars, but still we accept it. I don't know why. We accept it. The media, because it's just repeat again and again and again, so we say, yes, something must have happened. Lies is always a lie. Just by repeating it again and again, it's not going to be changed into a truth. The media in this time, majority, regardless where we are living, the media of the world has been an instrument for wrongful and satanic teachings. Yes, beside that, I remember I have mentioned this sentence from the sermon of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When the tyrant people enter and try to distract and disturb the minds of righteous people, they do not come and say, just change your righteous teachings with the wrong one. They come with haq and batil. Fayamzujan. They bring truth and lies and wrongful things together and blend those things together, and then they offer those information to us. So a common minds like us could not able to differentiate between right and wrong, between truth and lies, because between telling truth, they insert lies over there. So we can only save ourselves, save our souls, save our generations if we are able to get the correct information from the righteous source, which is available, which has not been changed over the centuries. And that source is not other than Quran and the teachings of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ajil faraj.
It has not been changed. The values, the principles we can get. And Allah has based His teachings over the centuries, taken from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam to the time of the last apostles, the Holy Prophet, and from his time till the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment. The principle has based on one single principle. All the teachings, all the principles are based on one principle by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is on the principle of justice. Whatever Allah has conveyed to us, whatever teachings Allah has given us, it is based on the justice. It matches with the human behavior and the nature of mankind and the nature of this entire world. In Quran, at times, you know that in Islam and Muslims, there have been three ideological sections and segments. One was being said as Mu'tazila. Mu'tazila. And another one has been said as Asha'ira. And the third one has been Adliya or Imamiya. Now these Mu'tazila and Asha'ira, these two ideological groups, they were being, one of them used to believe that we have been compelled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if we are doing good, it is Allah has compelled us to do good things. And if we are doing bad deeds, Allah has compelled us to do bad deeds. That's nothing is in our hands. So whatever we are doing in this world, good or bad, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'uzu billah. That if Yazid is Yazid and he has killed Imam Hussein, he has no sin, na'uzu billah. It is because of Allah. Allah has compelled Yazid to kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam, na'uzu billah. If Fir'aun has been a tyrant ruler So it wasn't his fault. Allah made him like that. So it was the Mu'tazila who was thinking like that, that everything is compelled, that we cannot decide anything on our own. So whatever we are doing, it's from Allah. From the other side, Ash'ara, they were on the belief that Allah has created us and brought us in this world, and now we are free to do whatever we would like to do. There is no compulsion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely nothing. Then the third school of thought of ideology came into, and they says, لا إفراط ولا تفريط الأمر بين الأمرين, that we do not accept either of these extremes. It's the middle way, it's the just way, that is called Adliya, that Allah has compelled few things on us. We have been born in a family, we cannot change it. It's a compulsion. We cannot say, no, I don't like my parents, so I had to change my parents. No, I cannot do it. We have been born in which era? It's not in our hands. We have been born with what color? It's not in our hands. In which society we have been born? It's not in our hands. There are several things which have been a compulsion. When we are going to die, it's not in our hands. So there are some things which has been compulsion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on other things, on which Allah will give rewards and punishment, we are white or black or red or yellow, there is no reward or punishment on that. We have been born in America or Canada or UK or Iran or Afghanistan or Pakistan or India or elsewhere, Allah will not reward or punish on these things. We have been born in which family, Allah will not reward or punish for this. So on those things which Allah has compelled, Allah will not question us about it. Allah will question us only on those things which Allah has given us in our hands to decide to do or not to do, or how to do or how to perform, what to do and what not to do. On those actions and deeds, Allah will going to ask us and give us rewards and punish. And that is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, in the developed societies, the so-called first world, there's injustice, discrimination, and racism on different ethnic basis, on colors, in from which area we belong, which country we belong. How come? When Allah is not going to ask us from which race we belong, from which color, which country we belong. But in this world, we see this sort of discrimination in every part of the world. Every part of the world. Why? Why we like, we at times we start liking things which Allah has given no preference to that. At times we like white skin than black. Allah hasn't given any preference. Rather, in the last sermon, or the sermon which has been delivered on the Hajj by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
Allahumma salli ala محمد وآل محمد.
Explicitly has been said that there is no superiority of white on blacks or vice versa. But the basis is إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The criteria which has been laid down by Islam is taqwa, the obedience to Allah. The one who is most obedient to Allah is closer and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that person should be praised even in this world by other people because of the piety of this person, because of the piousness of this person, because of the obedience of this person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the criteria. Haven't we lost that criteria among our society? Even the society, that is the Muslim society, the Shia society. The Shia society which claims that we are the righteous Muslim group. We claim that. That we are the true followers of Islam because we believe in Quran, we believe in 124,000 prophets and apostles, and we believe the sayings and the commands of the prophet on the basis of the commands of the prophet. We believe in 12 imam. We follow holy prophet. Inni taraktu feekum athqalain kitab Allah wa itrati ahl bayti. So we follow this hadith of the holy prophet that I have left between you two valuable things. One is Quran, the other one is my infallible family members. So we follow Quran, we follow the holy prophet. So we claim that we are, but when we evaluate ourselves, really where we stand, do we possess this high level of moral and ethical values which has been taught by Quran, which has been given to us by Ahlul Bayt, or we are missing something? We are missing something. We are over here to cry and weep on Hazrat Hur alayhi salam, that he came to Imam Hussein and seek forgiveness. Imam said, oh, I have this condition, this, that condition. There is no condition which has been mentioned in history. Without any condition, Imam said, when Imam saw that person is really wanted to seek forgiveness, he said, yes, I forgive you. I forgive you, and my creator, my God, has also forgiven you. That Imam has taken the responsibility of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Hazrat Hur. Without having any grudges, anything in his heart. This is what our imams has taught us. But if someone comes to us, our brother, sisters, our children, our neighbors, our family members, they seek forgiveness and say sorry, we say no, we are not going to forgive you. We don't talk to them for years and years. And again, we claim that we are the lovers of Imam Hussein. I don't know what sort of lovers we are. Imam, with one sentence of Hazrat Hur, who has stopped him to travel to Kufa. Because of Hazrat Hur, they ended into Karbala. Because of Hazrat Hur, now those children in the camps of Imam Hussein, they will say, Al-Atash, 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 oh thirst, oh thirst, oh thirst. They were dying because of that thirst. They just wanted few drops of water, but no one was ready to give few drops of water to the children of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Yet,
Yet again Imam Hussein alayhi salam forgive Hazrat Hur. This is if we do not change ourselves in these majalis, then there is no sense to commemorate majalis. If we cannot show our love and affection to Imam Hussein by following his footsteps, then we are just being hypocrite to him. Just hypocrite to him. We come over here, we weep over here, and then we say, sorry Imam, we cannot follow your footsteps. These are lessons to learn from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There are lessons to learn from Karbala. There are lessons to learn to adopt it in our lives and practice according to that. We made small mistakes, and when we say sorry, we say no. We are not going to forgive you. You have done this, you have done that, you have done that. I don't know. We need to ponder, we need to think, we need to reflect. We need to reflect. Hazrat Hur is the example, one of the examples of the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Justice of subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are few examples. They were being in the time, which was very decisive time. There are many people just giving you two examples over here. In history we find there were been two people when there was been battle of Jamal between Amir al-Mu'mineen and Aisha. There was Zubair and Talha were there. You know who was Zubair? We condemn, as a Shia we condemn his action, the way he performed in Battle of Jamal. But Zubair was the person who was the amongst those close supporters of Amir al-Mu'mineen on the day of Saqifah, when there was been Ammar and Salman. So Zubair was also one was that. And who is Zubair? Zubair is first cousin of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now coming back over here to Jamal, what happened? He sees that at one place on one side it's Khalifatul Muslimin, it's Amir al-Mu'mineen over there, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the other side is the mothers of the faithful and wife of the Holy Prophet. So what he say? What he done? Not to going in details, but his action shows that he said that I will not support Ali, I will not support Aisha, rather I will go back home. I will go back home. The same situation was with Hazrat Hur. Hazrat Hur never thought that Imam's situation will be reached at that place that he will be killed in battlefield of Karbala. He was thinking that he's been just forced to get allegiance for Yazid, that's it. On that night, what Hur said? That I see myself between Jannah and Nar, between paradise and hell, fire of hell. So he was just strolling from one place to another place whole night. And ultimately he decided, it's in some of the historic books has been written that I thought a lot, but I could not answer one thing. that on the day of judgment, when Hazrat Fatima Zahra will ask me that why you have been standing against my child, what reply I have to give her? Allahu Akbar. So he decided to join the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. For how many hours he was alive after this decision? For how many hours? Not more than few hours, or maybe less than few hours, maybe less than an hour. Because he joined Imam Hussein after that, after some time, the battle started. So not even less than an hour, he changed himself. He changed his destiny. Because Allah is justice and adil, he sees when someone is able to transform and change himself from that darkness toward the light of Allah, Allah changed his destiny from hell, fire of hell, towards paradise. And not only the destiny of Hazrat Hur was being changed because of the forgiveness of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the destinies of many sinful people and person has been changed over the centuries. Because whenever we take the name of Hazrat Hur, whenever we discuss about Hazrat Hur, we develop a hope about ourselves. We know, as a person, we have been involved in wrongful and sinful things and actions, and at times it's so much and so many that we think to ourselves, we talk to ourselves, we say, how can Allah can forgive me my so many and so many sins? But when we look towards Hazrat Hur, we say, this what Hazrat Hur has done to Imam Hussein, our sins are not bigger than Hazrat Hur's. But when Hazrat Hur can be forgiven by Imam Hussein and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so how come if we decide ourselves and tonight at this moment to change our hearts, to change ourselves and take ourselves from that darkness towards the light, there is no doubt that Imam Hussein's intercession will help us to seek the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Nare Haydari. Salawat Ghazi Balad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Kindly recite one more Salawat Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala
Yes. At times we find in Quran few verses, and without getting any clarification from interpretation and from the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, we just go through the translation and just do our own interpretation. And that's why we get lost. And that's why we are wondering that what is the actual Islam? No one can learn about the actual Islam and the reality of the teachings of Islam on his or her own just by going through the Quranic translation. If somebody thinks that just by going through the English Quranic translation, they will learn about Islam, they are on false, they are on the wrong step. Islam can only be understood when we knock at the door of Ahlul Bayt. We want to understand Quran, we need to come to Ahlul Bayt. We need to understand the lifestyle of Holy Prophet, we need to come to the door of Ahlul Bayt. We need to understand of the lives of 124,000 prophets, we need to come at the door of Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt are the teachers which has been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach the mankind till the day of judgment. As Imam said, Nahnu, that we are the pillars of hidayat, we are the pillars of guidance. We are the beacon of guidance. We are the ships and boats that if people would like to take refuge until they don't ride that boat, they won't get that refuge. That the example of Ahlul Bayt is like the example of Safinatun Nuh. So whosoever rides the ship of Nuh alayhi salam have able to save himself. So if we would like to save ourselves and save our generations, we need to go at the doorsteps of Ahlul Bayt. And that's what the famous hadith which we as a Shia narrate many places, that the Holy Prophet said, أنا مدينة العلم وعلي بابها وأنا مدينة الحكمة وعلي بابها. That the Holy Prophet says that I am the city of knowledge and Ali its door. I am the city of wisdom and Ali its door. We narrate it, but we don't knock at the door of Ali ibn Abi Talib to understand Allah, to understand Quran, to understand the Holy Prophet. Holy Prophet said, O Ali, nobody have understood you except me and Allah. O Ali, nobody has understood me except you and Allah. O Ali, nobody has understood Allah except you and me. When nobody has able to understand Allah except Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Holy Prophet, then it means that we need to go at the doorsteps of Amir al-Mu'mineen and enter the city of knowledge of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Wa ali hadari.
Ya Ali.
Chaman chaman kali kali.
Ali 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 Ali.
Nagar nagar gali gali.
Ali 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 Ali.
Nare Hadari.
Ali.
In one of the verses in the Quran, Allah says that Allah guides whosoever Allah pleased with him, and Allah misguides from whose Allah is displeased from him. Yahdi man yasha wa yudhillu man yasha. Now if we go through the translation of it, we say, okay, Mu'tazila have been correct. What they said, that we have been compelled, so whatever we do, it's because of Allah. So if we are sitting in the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it is because of Allah. And if we are absent from this majlis, again it's because of Allah. So nothing is nothing to do with us. So when nothing to do with us, then there is no concept of reward and punishment. When there is no concept of reward and punishment, then there is no need of paradise and hell. And when there is no need of paradise and hell, then why there is a need of life after death? And so on. So where to come? Where to go? Where we should go? How we should know that what is the actual meaning of it? The best place is Ahlul Bayt. One of the companions of sixth Imam came to Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. And asked him about this verse of Quran. Imam says, it has its explanation. When Allah says, Yahdi man yasha, that Allah guides from whoever Allah is pleased or Allah like to guide him. It is just not like that in any other day someone will, Allah will guide him. No. The one who intends to seek the guidance of Allah, he will receive the guidance from Allah. Hazrat Hur, when he went, he decided, he was in that confusion. When he decided and he went to the right place, that is to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and sought his forgiveness, so Allah gave him the hidayat and guidance because he have that intention to do that. And those who did not, Allah did not guide them. So those who do not have the intention of guidance, Allah will not guide them. So we need to show our intentions. It's in the hadith that if we come forward one step, Allah will come to take our, hold our hand 10 steps. As we have seen companions of the Holy Prophet, companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they came forward, companions of Imam Hussein, Zuhair ibn Qayn. Who was Zuhair ibn Qayn? Zuhair ibn Qayn was against Amir al-Mu'mineen. But when Imam invited him, he accepted the invitation, he received the guidance, and he, till his last drop of his blood, he was with Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And that's why we remember him, those who accompanied. So it's, we need to be with Imam Hussain alayhi salam. We need to be with the companions, like the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So those who strive to get the and receive the guidance of Allah, they will be guided. That's what Imam alayhi salam said. So there is a justice. This is one part of justice which will be done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other part of the justice is our responsibility. That in Quran, in many places, Allah has said that we should establish justice. In other places, Allah has said that I have revealed and sent messengers to mankind so they can establish a society based on justice, based on divine justice. Justice will prevail when the teachings of Allah will be implemented. When this justice will prevail, when the high level of moral and ethical values will be established and practiced in a society. It's not going to be done just like that. We need to practice. We need to follow that. Otherwise, it's not going to be happen automatically. Something happened just like that. Just taking a pill and you will, you know, get healed. It's not like that. You need to go through that practice slowly and gradually and reach that height of excellence, height of that perfection, height of that ethical and moral values, which we see in Hazrat Hur. Hazrat Hur, as I mentioned, the Hazrat Hur was the person who has been sent by Ibn Ziyad to stop the caravan of Imam Hussain al-Islam and not allow them to enter into Kufa. Because Ibn Ziyad believe that if Imam was able to enter into Kufa, he will be able to overturn all his efforts which he did to terrify, to buy people of Kufa. So he sent Hazrat Hurwa there. In the middle of the way, when they came across, Hazrat Hur stopped Hazrat Imam Hussain alayhi salam. I mentioned previous nights that when they reached over there, these soldiers of Hazrat Hur has finished their water. They were thirsty. The thirst was killing them. Imam Hussain ordered to give them water. And so much water was being given to them that they were being filled. They were being filled, and there was no more their desire to have water. And after that, Imam said, give water to the animals. And when the animals finished their desire to drink water, Imam said, pour water on their feet of animals, because they are coming from a long travel, from long journey. These animals must be tired. Put some water on their feet. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And yes, there was the day when the children of Imam Hussein were crying for water. Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That night of Ashura, Shabi Ashur, the night of Ashura, Hazrat Hur, when he came to know that something is going wrong, he overheard Shimr talking to Amr ibn Sa'd, and Shimr was saying that you need to finish. Tomorrow will be the day when the hands will be sawed and hands will be flying. So Hazrat Hur was taken by surprise that it wasn't supposed to be happened. He came to Amr ibn Sa'd and said that, what are you doing? It wasn't supposed to be done. He said, no, I have orders. I have orders to kill Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He said, but you know that Hussain is the grandson of our Prophet. How you are going to kill this person? He say, I don't know. I have been given promise that I will give in the governors of if the city of Ray, and I'm looking forward for that. So I am ready to kill Imam Hussain. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Hur came back in his camp. Hazrat Hur came back in his camp. Allahu Akbar. And all night he was walking in his camp. His son asked, father, what has happened to you? What has happened to you? Why you are so much disturbed? He said, oh my son, tonight I see myself between paradise and the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar. He said, father, explain for me. He said, one side is the grandson of our Prophet Hussein, and on the other side is Amr ibn Sa'd, who's saying that I would like to kill, I want to kill Imam Hussain al-Islam if he doesn't give allegiance. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So why you are confused? Why you are disturbed? Decide my father, decide my father. In the morning, Hazrat Hur decide. He said that yes, I do not have any reply and answer of Hazrat Zahra. If on the day of judgment, if that noble lady asked me that why you have involved in killing and slaughtering of my son, I have nothing to say. Allahu Akbar. I know that I will be killed very soon if I join Imam Hussain alayhi salam. But I know that on the day of judgment, my my face will be lightened with the light of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat-e Hur, Hazrat-e Hur, Hazrat-e Hur, you know Hur, you know, a free person. Allahu Akbar. His name was being named by his mother. I don't know why his mother has named him like that. But yes, maybe she had something that Hur should be free in his own thinking. Hur should be free in this world. Hur should be free. Should not be forced and compelled by others. Allahu Akbar. So he decided. He took his slave and his son. And in some of the historic books it said that around 12 other people from his company joined him. And when they reached over there, in some of the narration has been written that he asked his son to tie his hands with rope, to tie his hands with rope, because he is the culprit that he has forced Imam Hussein to come to Karbala. Allahu Akbar. And now Imam has to face these consequences. Allahu Akbar. So his son tied his father's hand and he was being taken to Imam Hussein just like a prisoner. When they reached closer, somebody told Imam Hussein that Hur is coming. Hur is coming. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abbas stood up and came out. Imam Hussein said, wait, let's listen to him what he has supposed to say. Allahu Akbar. When he came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he fell down on his feet and said, Hal yatoba, is there a forgiveness for a person like me who has made us a big sin for you? Allahu Akbar. Imam said, oh Hur, stand up. Imam took her in his arm and said, Hur, I forgive you, and my Lord has also forgives you. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Hur joined the ranks of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And when the battle started, Hazrat Hur said, Imam, allow me to go first, because I was the person who forced you to come to Karbala. Now allow me to render my services, to render my life before the lives of other. Hazrat Hur was one of the bravest commanders of Ibn Ziyad and Amr ibn Sa'd. So when he stood in front of others, and Hur was also cousin of, friend of Ibn Sa'd, when they stood in front of each other, said Amr ibn Sa'd said, what had happened to you? Hazrat Hur said, what have happened to you, Amr ibn Sa'd? You are standing against the grandson of the Holy Prophet. You know that Hussein is the only grandson on the surface of this earth. There is no other grandson of our Prophet. He is the son of Fatima. He is the son of Ali. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. But he was been declined. And then Hur entered into the battlefield. He took out his sword and went to the ranks of Ibn Sa'd and killed him and slaughtered many people. Allahu Akbar. A coward person came from behind and struck a sword on the head of Hur. Hur fell down. Hur just said last word and said, Alayka minni salam ya Aba Abdullah. Oh Aba Abdullah, I accept my last salam to you.
Oh, Abba Abdullah, accept my salam, salam to you. Hazrat Imam Hussain alayhi salam ran towards his body, came to him, Allahu Akbar, or again asked, oh Imam Hussain, have you forgiven me? Or have you forgiven me again? Have you forgiven me again? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Imam Hussain said, Imam Hussain said, Imam Hussain said, Oh Hur, you are free as you have been named as a free person by your mother. You are free in this world and free hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Years and centuries after that. After that, in one of the times of one of the caliphs of Bani Umayyah or Bani Abbas, they have doubt that Hur never joined Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So they asked to dug his grave. When his body was being taken out, it was as a fresh person has been buried. Just a little bit of his coffin. His coffin was taken away. A fresh blood was coming from his head where his body been struck. So people believe and said yes, who was the person who really joined Imam Hussain? He's the Shaheed in true sense. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Just last few words. Sometime asked that how come Hur's body is at a distance from the haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Would you like to listen that why his body at the distance from the haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam? When Amr ibn Sa'd gave the order to trample the bodies of the companions of the Imam Hussain alayhi salam, his tribe came forward and said, Amr ibn Sa'd, just wait, you have done enough. You have killed our commander, Hur, and we are not going to allow you to trample the body of our commander. So they took away one by one. The tribes of different people came, and in the end, the only body which was beloved in Karbala was the وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم العظام العزيز الأجل الأكرم ودم مقتول بكربلاء يا الله 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 ربنا تقبل منا هذا القليل والله accept this ibadat, little ibadat from us. Allah give us tawfiq to follow the footsteps of Hazrat Hur alayhi salam. Oh Allah give us tawfiq to follow the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Oh Allah give us tawfiq to be the true followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Oh Allah hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam and give us tawfiq to be amongst his true and pure followers. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى أبائي في هذه الساعة وفي كل الساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Matam Hussain. Ya Hussain.